Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
What fortune lies beyond the stars? Those dazzling heights too fast to climb. I got so hard to fall so far. But I found heaven as love swept.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed once again reading from the book of Acts. Those of you that have been following along, you're in Acts chapter 10. You have your coffee and your tea and you're in your favorite chair, snuggled up with a nice sheep skin giving you comfort in the back.
Oh yeah, that nice that the fluffy stuff. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. They just had some at Costco, and I bought them because they were like sheepskins all sewn together. So there was a, it was big.
Nice.
Oh. You could sit in there.
That's snuggly. Yeah.
It's snuggly. Yeah. Snuggly. So you're snuggled up.
Yep.
Get ready for God's word. We're going to pick it up in Acts chapter 10, verse number 20. We found out that Peter had a vision while he was at Simon the Tanner's house, and he's on top of the roof, and he has a vision, and all of a sudden now the Spirit of God says to Simon, there's three men downstairs, and they're looking for you. I mean, that could be anything. It could be, they're looking for you. It sounds almost like some kind of ICE agent.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-oh.
They're looking for you.
They're looking for you.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit says they're looking for you. Now,
yeah.
Pretty interesting, because I think the Holy Spirit probably, in my mind, would have had to tell Peter this completely, because they're Gentiles.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't even touch a Gentile because you're unclean.
Right.
You can't go with them. You're unclean. But the Holy Spirit tells him, he's had this vision, and the Holy Spirit tells him, you're got to go with them. So that's amazing.
This is an amazing moment right here.
Is.
Chapter 10 of the book of Acts is a critical moment. And the exciting thing is that the Old Testament points to it. The Old Testament talks about Gentiles coming into being restored in relationship to God through the Jewish people. So
right.
The Jewish people were, Jesus was Jewish, and so from him and through him, salvation for the entire world. And at this juncture right here, God uses Peter to bring the message to Cornelius, a Roman soldier. How exciting is that?
It's pretty interesting when you look at the Judeo-Christian philosophies of life, because they're based on the true God.
Yep.
So when you have something based on the true God, then you have something that is going to be solid. It's going to span time. And the Judeo-Christian ethics have really built society and helped it to move along. Now, I know that there are other groups, Muslim, Hindu, and many of others that are based on a philosophy or worldview that is different than the Judeo-Christian concept. But if you look at the Judeo-Christian concepts, you'll find the elevation of women to equal quality, equal place as men. You'll look at the principles of life, and you'll say, this really is how life should be.
Yeah. It's amazing to me when you really study Scripture, and like you said, you look at those elements of male, female, you know, the roles of husband, wives, children, how everything is looked at. Some people would differ, but I don't think they've read their Bible, because once you get into it and you see God's point of view, you'll see that men and women do have an equality.
Yeah. And there's so many other places you could go to in principles, but we're going to look at the Scriptures in verse number 20. So he says, get up, go downstairs, do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them.
Yeah.
That's a pretty powerful message, because he's telling him what to do, and he says, don't be fearful, I'm the one who sent them to you. Now, that's a kind of a comfort word, because you're wondering, where did you come from? How come you're being here? What's your motive about me coming behind him? What are you going to do? You're going to take me over here and crucify me? What are you going to do? You're a Roman soldier.
Exactly.
I mean, what's going to happen to me?
Yeah, Peter was sitting here daydreaming about food. It was lunchtime. So
Which happens to everybody.
He had this vision three times of food, God saying, go eat this food. And no, I'm not going to do that. That's not the food. You know, I don't eat there, God. That's not it. And then all of a sudden, once again, the Holy Spirit speaks to him, and he says, listen, these people that are coming, that are knocking on the door right now, you hear them knocking? I'm the one that brought them here, because I have a plan for your life.
Yeah, and this is an interesting word to use, the word hesitate. Don't hesitate.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have a tendency to hesitate. Even when we feel like the Holy Spirit says something to us, we hesitate. So when you have a word that comes and says, don't hesitate, just do it. You know, it's almost like a Nike saying, isn't it?
Yeah,
just do it. That's
just
it.
Do it. Yeah.
So sometimes I think when God speaks to our hearts, we sort of hesitate.
Sure.
And what do they say? He who hesitates is lost. So, I mean, there's a place, obviously, we can get ahead of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But if we have some kind of a feeling from the Spirit that this is something we should do, I'm suggesting that we should probably just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, that's exactly the word here. You know, just do it.
Just do it. And Peter went down and he said to the men, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?
Yeah.
That's pretty much yeah. what it's be.
I'm you're a couple one. Of Roman soldiers. I see that. I can tell by the nice outfit you got there. The helmet.
The sword.
Yeah, the sword. I'm ready to go. You know, what are you doing here?
Yeah. yeah. Well, we know they're soldiers, but whatever they were, they definitely were not Jewish.
Right. Right.
And so here he says, I'm the one you're looking for.
Yeah.
So he all of a sudden now notice what Peter says. I don't know if anybody told him they were looking for Peter, but the Holy Spirit says I'm sending them because I want them to find you. So he comes down and he's got a word of knowledge here. He says, I know you're not knocking on this door to see Simon. You're not here to see some tanning.
Simon the tanner.
You don't want no tanning done on some hides or something.
Right.
Yeah, you're looking for me. Now, that's a pretty interesting insight. All of a sudden, he knows that somebody's coming. The guy at the door is coming for him, so he knows. But he still asks them. It's interesting. The Holy Spirit doesn't say why you should go with him. He just says, you go.
You go.
We don't always know why. Yep. You know, what they used to say in the military, it's not for years to wonder why, but to do or die.
Do or die. There you go. He's ready. And think about that, because just a few weeks prior to this, he was denying he even knew Jesus.
That's true.
But now here's Roman soldiers.
Wow.
And if they were Roman soldiers, or if there were soldiers with the men that Cornelius sent, whichever, you know, they were from Cornelius, the centurion, the guy who, you know, governs or leads 100 guys or whatever. Yeah, Peter's like, hey, I'm the dude. I'm the one you're looking for.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Yeah.
So there's a boldness that's in him after he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, and he's listening to the Holy Spirit, and he's obeying the Holy Spirit. There's a boldness that has come upon him right here.
Those are two key factors you mentioned, that he's listening and he's obeying, because those two, you know, listening and obeying really becomes a key factor here. So the men reply, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. So right away, Peter's ears go up.
Yep.
Roman soldier.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yep.
Okay,
you want me to carry the pack 2 miles? I will.
There you go. Yep.
He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. So they are kind of hoping that they can maybe brush up a little bit on Peter's ego and have him come, you know, look at, he's good to Jewish people and everything. So he says, a holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. So we've got two supernatural things going on. One, the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in Peter's life telling him to go, the supernatural work in Cornelius's life, and an angel speaking to him and saying, go to him. Yeah. I mean, I love this part of the book. Like you say, this is really thrilling.
This is awesome. And God orchestrates stuff. There are so many times that God has orchestrated events, people meeting, you know, services where stuff just happens. God orchestrates all the details, speaks to different people about different things.
Amazing.
And pulls it all together. Here's just another experience, because he's omniscient.
It's amazing.
He knows everything, and he pulls everything together.
I mean, I've heard stories about angels speaking to people, and I've heard stories about it, and they always amaze me. I heard Sister Homer, he was the president of Southeastern. She was driving with her husband across the Texas, West Texas. You know how that's so flat forever, there's nothing. And her husband dies and has a heart attack right there on the side of the road. There's no cars, nobody anywhere. She's beside herself. She has no way of doing anything. This is before the cell phones or anything, so there was nothing. She said all of a sudden, a 18-wheeler came by and stopped. The guy get out, found out what happened, got on his CB, and called for the police to come.
Yeah.
And so the truck driver's there, and finally the police car comes. And so the woman's, Sister Homer's talking with the police car and so forth. And she says, well, this truck driver stopped, and that's how we got a hold of you. And looked up, no truck, no driver, no nothing, gone. I mean, it's never heard it go, never heard it anywhere.
Yeah.
She says, it had to be an angel because we were just right there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, gone.
Oh, gone. Wow.
I mean, that's a powerful story.
That's how it happens.
Now, if that happened to you, like it happened to her, she told it with a conviction, like, you're not going to convince her that there's no God.
No way.
And
there's no angels, because
they were.
There it was.
And here, this is Peter. And like you mentioned before, Peter probably would never, ever have thought about going to the Gentiles because the Jewish people were so wanting to withhold their religion. They were the ones, and they did not want to share anything. And so here you have Christianity now, which basically is thrust by the Spirit into the Gentile world. And this is the first case where it actually penetrates into the Gentile world.
Yeah.
So the Gentiles become part of the kingdom of God. So we do have a root system that comes from Christ Jesus, which comes from God calling Abraham, which comes from the whole Old Testament into the New Testament.
Yep.
There is a unity that's there. And so I was thrilled when our president moved the embassy into Jerusalem, because I think we have this relationship with Israel that is, it's biblical, it's binding, and I think it's something that protects us. You know, you bless Abraham, God will bless you.
Amen. Yeah, declaring Jerusalem as the capital. And, you know, so many of the previous men that were running for president said they would do that, never did it.
Right.
And then President Trump did it, which was a bold move.
That is a bold move. And so here, the men replied, "We have come from Cornelius, the centurion. He was respected by all the Jewish people. And the holy angel told him to have you come to his house so he could hear what you have to say."
Yep.
So I would really like it if Cornelius, he wanted to hear the message.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if people came to church and they sent an angel to the pastor and said, "We want to hear what you have to say morning.
Go get up, go to church, because there are people there that want to hear the message."
You know, their ears would be open to what God would have to say to them at that moment if they came with that attitude. Here, an angel tells them, "Okay, you know, you've got to go and hear what this, I want you to go tell them. You know, to hear what the preacher's going to say to you."
Maybe an angel has been speaking to the people listening via radio.
Look out. That's, you know, that's insightful.
They turned to AM 560.
Boom.
Something told them, I'm going to hit that number one button on my car. It's going to go to AM 560 because I need to hear what they have to say.
Wow. Did an angel say that to you? Call in. We'd love to hear from you.
This ain't just talk radio. This is good news.
This is good news
this
you
is,
can hear.
Yeah.
So then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. I don't even remember reading that, honestly. Yeah. That's the first time I thought Peter just would go right with them.
But it was lunchtime.
That's true. They were having something to eat.
They had to eat something. You can't, because they walked all the way there, so they had to be hungry.
True.
Yeah.
But, the Jew was not supposed to eat with the Gentile.
With the Gentile.
So here he invites him into the house. So I'm not sure you invite him in the house to have a glass of water, but they're not supposed to eat together. And we find later on when Paul was eating with the people up at Antioch, then we find that Peter came up and he didn't eat with them.
Yeah.
He refused to eat with them. And here, an angel, and he invites him in the house. Yeah. Now, whether they broke bread together or whether they just invited him in the house to explain where they were going to go, I don't know. But this is interesting.
This is really interesting. I think Peter was in the right frame of mind because he just had that vision.
He
said God said, "What I call clean, don't you call unclean." So here come these Gentiles in, and I think they welcomed him in, and I think they ate together. I think Peter's heart was in the right place at that moment. A little later on with Paul and all of those guys, he backtracked just a little bit, got off track here. But here, if you continue to read the verse, it says the next day Peter started out with him. So they even spent the night. I don't know if they spent the night there. Not sure.
It's
but
interesting, isn't it?
I think there may have been some hospitality there where, like you said before, wouldn't have been there yesterday.
Unless it's possible that Cornelius had Jewish people that worked for him.
Could be.
And if he had Jewish people that worked for him, maybe they explained a few things about the Jewish religion.
Could be.
And Cornelius did things for the poor among the Jewish people. So he may have had Jewish people that worked for him that became influential in his life, and he sent them.
Sent them.
And they could have been Jewish. And
good
if they
point.
Were Jewish, then all of a sudden that would be the natural thing for them to be guests. But it's interesting.
It is.
I've never thought about that.
Nope.
And the next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. That's pretty interesting. He didn't go alone. Peter was said to go, but he brought a couple people with him. Sometimes that's good for witnessing, isn't it?
It's great for witnessing. You know, I heard the phrase, never do ministry alone. Bring somebody with you. If at all possible, always have somebody there so you can let them see how God's working in you and through you.
And so the following day, he arrives in Caesarea. Joppa to Caesarea, I'm trying to think, it's not that far. It's just up the coast.
Okay.
And it could be maybe 10 miles, but not more than that.
Yeah.
And so they travel up to Caesarea. Caesarea, it was a major port, and it was a place where Pilate had a beautiful home with a swimming pool, not with ocean water, but fresh water came in right on the ocean.
Nice.
He had a beautiful spot there. And so he's going to Caesarea, and Cornelius was expecting them, and he had called together his relatives and close friends. Now, talk about a home Bible study.
Yeah, huh?
That's amazing.
This is a great home cell group right here. You call in all your family, close relatives, friends. Don't leave anybody out. Anybody
call
that you
in.
Want to hear this message, because you know this guy's got something to say.
And if the angel told you to do it, so you're going to get everybody in to hear as many as you can.
Oh, yeah.
And as Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. So, you know, this is a Roman soldier.
Yeah.
Falling on his knees in front of Peter, a Jew who was despised by the Romans.
Yeah.
There was something that was in Cornelius's heart that the angels have placed. It was an understanding of this reverence and honor and respect, not necessarily towards Peter, but for whom he represented.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very interesting caricature of Cornelius, this Roman soldier who probably got there. Who knows how? You just don't become a Roman centurion. You there's some political movement that you have to do and some other stuff, whatever.
Notches on your gun, belt, sword.
Yeah. So right here, something happened to this man named Cornelius that brought him to his knees, and in which he feared God, but then also that reverence that he had for Peter. Just an amazing portrait of this man.
And Peter made him get up and said, "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself."
Yeah.
Now, I think we would all agree with that. We understand Peter, he denied Jesus three times. I mean, he knew his faults, and he recognized who Jesus was. And so that's all he's really doing.
Amen.
Is saying, it's just not about me. It's about Jesus. It's about him. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. We're wishing you'd have a wonderful experience, that you'd experience the pleasure of knowing God and having that kind of experience with him. We hope to see you next week, and have a great day.